A Thought for Your Penny is hosted by Shauna and Squeaky and explores ways to save money and tips to avoid scams, all while they share their own stories along the way. Get in touch by calling 970-425-3060 or emailing penniespod@gmail.com.
Hey, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, and you'll be hearing from Squeaky soon. This episode, we are going to be talking about mental health savings. How can you save on this very important part of healthcare and get access without getting scammed, without breaking the bank? And of course, not only do we talk about savings and scams in this show, but we start out with a story. So I'm going to start out with a story why I needed some mental health help. You should probably let, you know, premeditated thoughts win when you're parenting, not the intrusive ones.
The intrusive thoughts are so convincing, though. It can be, so fun.
Until one of your children is crying. Okay, let me just get into the story. Okay, so I have two kids, and my daughter was into this flight program. This is actually great if you have kids or no kids in your life and they want to be a pilot. They have programs for kids to get into pilot school and to get like 300 hours by the time they're 16, which is great, can help their pilot certification. And so we were at a fire station waiting in line with a bunch of other kids and parents. It was me, my daughter, and my son, and my mother were all standing in line waiting at this fire station to get the safety briefing before we go out to the airport to be on the tarmac for her to fly the plane, yada yada. And my daughter is 8 and my son is 6. And we're standing in line and my son crouches down to look at these juniper bushes. And he's like, "Mommy, look at these berries, these bright blue berries that are on the juniper bushes." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's great. What a beautiful berries." And he's talking to me about them. And I don't know if I thought that I was thinking in my head and accidentally said something out loud, or if it was the intrusive thoughts and my daughter was right next to him and my son is like very precariously crouched. I just think to myself, push him in the bushes. It'll hurt. Except I said it out loud.
Including the "this'll hurt" part?
"This'll hurt" didn't make it, because as soon as I said, "Quick, push him in the bushes," my daughter, who has, you know, grown up in shooter drills in her, as in the classroom, is like, "Oh my gosh, she puts her whole life into pushing her brother into the bushes to save his life." And so she pushes him hard into the juniper bushes and throws her body on top of him. And he screams, of course, and skinned his arms. And because the 8-year-old didn't, I really thought she would understand it's a joke. Because of course I don't actually want her to push her brother into the bushes. But she's 8, he's 6, you know, and I just feel like that's where the impulsive thoughts, the intrusive thoughts won. And this could be like a lot of parenting moments where you're just kind of, "Oh, whoops, I did something wrong. I'll fix that in therapy," when they subconsciously can't trust authority for whatever reason because of what their parents have done to them. It would just be kind of swept away, except the problem is my mother is right there.
It doesn't seem like trying to fix it when they don't trust authority is going to work. It's like, try to imagine 10 years later getting these rebellious teens into therapy. "Oh, yeah. I'm going to make you trust authority and I'm going to use handcuffs." Like, how are you going to get them there?
Yeah. Or, you know, the authorities are humans just like you, you know, who sometimes say stuff, have the intrusive thoughts win, and you should maybe trust but verify. I don't know. So my mother is horrified and she is like, "What is the matter with you? What happened? Why did you do that? I cannot believe." And so she starts berating me in public because the other parents didn't really see what happened. They didn't really hear me because I didn't like scream, "Push him in the bushes." You know, it was just a thing.
They don't want you.
And so I could have gotten away with it too. You know, I feel like the Scooby-Doo villain. I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for my mother just standing right there who was like, Shauna, what is wrong with you? I cannot believe you did this. Are you okay? You know, and so, I mean, I was fine. I was your average parent. I mean, it was the worst parenting moment in my life. And to bring it back to the beginning, that my mother shamed me and talks about it all the time. And so the kids have never forgotten. And so they question my authority all the time. Like, do you mean it? Or is this a push them in the bushes moment? And I'm like, yes, I should do some internal self-regulation. Is this a push them in the bushes moment?
So you tell them like, hey, go brush your teeth. And you're like, are you sure you're not trying to conspire against my teeth?
I mean, it hasn't been quite that. I mean, it's more like, you know, like sometimes we want to jump off rocks into glacial lakes out here in Colorado, you know, and the kids are like, so mom, did you plan this out? Or is this a push them in the bushes moment? I'm like, I planned it out. We're not going to hit rocks at the bottom. It's just going to be cold. You know, like now there's some forethought. It's that's the phrasing in my family that this has taken on that I have never been able to live down. But, you know, I was so ashamed of it. And I got teased for it mercilessly all the time. And I felt very bad until I told my husband about it, who could not stop laughing. Where I was like, we were like getting together. We were going steady. And I was like, you have got to know the worst thing about me, which is this time that I did this to my children. And he was like, that is so funny. So funny at the time that you let that happen. So that's how I knew he was the one for me, is because he
was probably relieved. As long as he doesn't push your kids into the bushes, he's the better parent. He's right. Thrilled. He's thrilled.
I know, because he's expecting me to be like, the worst thing about me is that sometimes I'll drug people and take their kidneys. You know, but it's not. Sometimes I need more mental health. Well, I needed more mental health. I think every parent, every family needs mental health support. So that's what we'll be talking about a little bit more about today. But that's the worst thing I've ever done as a parent, and how I know that I am with the one.
Aw, your meet cute involves violence.
Yeah. Hey there, Penny Thinkers. This is the ad part of our show that you want to skip over, but I don't want you to skip it because I want you to help out people who have survived the LA fires. And we have this link for you, linkcuts.org/LA fires. If you go there, there's a Google spreadsheet that has a ton of different organizations to help out the victims of the LA fire. Would love if you could show your support for our show by supporting the survivors.
I don't know what you said, Shauna, but I wholeheartedly agree that we should help people in the LA fires. So yeah, was that linkcuts.org/LA fires, all lowercase?
Yeah, that is the link, linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Well, I support you think I am. Fires prevent, money donate.
Did I just word salad?
If if you didn't, I got lost.
Man, the important thing is linkcuts.org/LA fires. Hey, welcome to A Thought for Your Pennies, where we talk about ways to save you money and to spot scams and maybe entertain you a little bit along the way. I'm Shauna, and this is...
I'm Squeaky.
Great. And today we're talking about how to... Good job introducing yourself, Squeaky.
So natural. So natural. Yeah.
You have a very squeaky voice. It makes sense. It totally makes sense.
What are you talking about?
Mickey Mouse over here. Today we're going to be talking about mental health, actually, and how you can save some money while making sure you get the full amount of mental health care you actually need. Because we know that it's really important talking about your family, making sure that you have all of the mental health care you need to be a good parent, to be a good kid, to be a good aunt, uncle. Families can give us a lot of stress. Seems expensive these days to get good mental health care, right?
Families giving you stress around the holidays? Never.
I mean, that happens to all of us. They can be a source of stress, but we also don't want to be the stressful one. If your family, that's the joke, right? Like, if your family, nobody's stressful, it's probably you who's causing the stress that we all need.
I hadn't considered that. Oh my God.
You're the one, right?
This explains so much. Oh my goodness.
So let's get into it. Let's get into how can we make sure that we are getting the right amount of mental health care that we need. So one thing that you need to do is to monitor yourself, right? Like, how much mental health care do you actually need? Like, what is going on? How does it compare to other times in your life when things are stable? Or how do you know that this is going to be a bigger problem than what you can deal with on your own? I think the important reason why you need to self-monitor on this is because sometimes it's just a little problem that you're dealing with, and sometimes it's a problem that takes a lot more resources, and of course, that's the amount of expense that you're going to have to deal with, right?
So, I've heard people say that they don't realize how overloaded they are, how much they need extra help, until things have already gotten really bad.
Yeah.
So it's my understanding you ought to go early and often rather than saving it off for later. Is that about where you're going?
I think so. I think sometimes, too, we can overestimate how problematic something is. If we start at a smaller place where we just start talking to a therapist and I've had this experience with one of my family members when I went to a therapist with an issue and they were like, I am not the professional you need. You need somebody that's a little bit of a higher grade to deal with this issue. And I'm like, okay, thank you very much. So any reputable professional you go to will be helpful in helping you assess exactly what kind of mental health care and how much you need.
So I didn't win therapy when my therapist said they were going to talk to their therapist about this?
Yeah.
That wasn't winning?
No? I mean, I can't judge you for that. That is what it is. I hope it all worked out well for you. You seem great now. So thanks to the master therapist who intervened on your lesser therapist and then the order of therapists that come in and help all of us. I mean, you didn't go off about tiger blood and saying you were winning, son. So I think you're A-okay. So yeah, you did win. I mean,
okay, my therapist wasn't literally Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, I mean, you can catch them all. You can catch the family therapist, the couples counselor, the behavioral therapist, the psychiatrist, the psychologist. Yeah.
That's a real weird name for Pokemon, but yeah, okay. Sorry.
You catch all the therapy.
Sure, sure.
So, but then there's some things that you can do that, you know, when I'm thinking about mental health and stress, There's kind of two things you can do about your mental health situation, which one is you can introduce things that get rid of the stress, right? Eliminate things. And then there's things you can do to add coping mechanisms that help you deal with the things that you can't eliminate. So that can come into cost too, because if there's things that you can do to eliminate stress, hopefully that will cost you a lot less. Like, for example, one thing that's helped me eliminate a lot of stress in my life is setting boundaries. Nedra Tawab is a great author. She's on Instagram. You can follow her for free. She wrote a book called Drama Free that is about how do you put in boundaries with your family. And actually, putting in boundaries can be pretty cheap.
So, like my family dealing with me on the holidays, since I had no stresses, I was clearly the stressor. Maybe they would tell me to stop bringing up politics and religion, and I'd respect that or not, and we would set boundaries from there. If I don't respect it, they kick me out of the holidays. Mental health bonuses for them, right?
I mean, I know you're being playful with this, but actually a good axiom is that people who are in a good place can accept boundaries pretty well. So if you put down a boundary and somebody can't accept it, they're not in a good place. Or if somebody puts a boundary on you and you're like, I can't deal with that, you may need some more mental health care than you might need to increase your coping mechanisms. And, you know, you're okay if you need mental health. We all have been there. I have been in therapy since I was 10. So you're really not alone here. It's okay if you need mental health care.
Yeah, it is really stigmatized in some places. And I hadn't heard that if someone's not good at responding to boundaries you put up, that they might need help themselves. That's definitely worth thinking about. That's
healthy.
That's very
people
interesting.
Respond to boundaries well.
Okay.
So yeah, think about that. Think about, oh, is there a time where an unhealthy person responded to a boundary well, or maybe opposite, where it's most of the time unhealthy people don't want boundaries. They want to be able to do whatever they want to do. They can't accept a no. They have issues with consent.
I could even imagine someone responding like to boundaries like in a passive aggressive way or something, or saying they'll respect a boundary than not.
Right.
And that makes a lot of intuitive sense to me.
Yeah. And if you're looking for, you know, if you're thinking boundaries in particular is something you want to look into, follow Nedra Tawab Glover on Instagram. She puts a lot of really great gems out there for free. And then, you know, get yourself on a list at the library to be able to check out Drama Free. It's a free way to access the info.
Getting on a list at the library is way better than any list I've been on. But we're also going to have links to this in the show notes, right?
That's right. Yes, that's a good point, Squeaky. We will have in the show notes access links to all the things that we're talking about here if you're finding out that's something you want to check out later. Another great mental health resource is that therapists often work on a sliding scale. Some can go as low as $10 an hour, and some of them have specialized in particular areas. So if there's something, like if you really do need help with like your family and boundaries, some do family systems therapy exclusively and really love to work with folks like yourself who need some help, need some coaching on how to do the boundaries. And so you talk to them and say, hey, this is the situation I'm in. This is why I'm asking for a sliding scale.
On working with boundaries and other people in therapy together, have you experienced that firsthand? Because I could imagine somebody would say one thing to a therapist, then behave differently after the fact.
Yeah. You know, the nice thing about therapy is if you're experiencing an issue with someone else and you're like, you know, I can't stand my coworker, and so I wish we could go to work therapy. But that's not very common, right? The thing is, even if you go to therapy, you discover coping mechanisms on how to deal with that coworker. You discover ways to be able to limit stress on them. So a lot of times people are like, well, I don't need to go to therapy because it's actually this person. It's actually my boss. It's actually my partner. It's actually my kid. And they're the ones who need to go to therapy. Or like what you said, they'll go and they'll pretend all this stuff in therapy and then they'll go and continue being crappy. But the therapy really is for you.
People pretending, so, never.
I mean, I have done group therapy, I've done family therapy, I've done couples therapy, and I've just experienced, yes, it helps me be able to deal with the situation, come up with different thoughts. And if somebody comes in and lies to the therapist and does something different in their real life, hey, the therapist kind of sees through that.
Okay.
Another thing you can do if you're lower income, you can check on Medicaid, Medicare, and you can also check on the Affordable Care Act to see what you're eligible for. You can go to healthcare.gov. That will give you information about the state exchanges, wherever you're located, and what is available to you. But specifically, see if you can find out about mental health resources. Another place that you could get cheaper mental health care is there's colleges, training institutes, universities. They can provide free sessions. I myself have gotten cheaper mental health providers through people who are working on like their MSW, which is a Master of Social Work. The drawback to that, though, is that they graduate and then they move on to clients that do make money. So that kind of stinks when you've built a good relationship with someone and you really like them and they move on. But I think it's still a great place to get healthcare.
That sounds an awful lot like going to the barber college to get your hair cut.
Yeah, the salon school of mental health. But you can do it. It works. Sometimes
awesome. You
get not such a great haircut. But that's another thing I want to say is that, you know, a therapist kind of like is like a barber, is like a hairstylist, in that you will go there and you will not like the cut. You will go there and they talk too much and they're not listening to you. And that's not why you're getting a haircut. You want them to listen. So it can be a good match with a therapist to find out if they have the right background of the different styles, different types of therapy they want to try. But it can sometimes people have said, well, I went to a therapist one time and I didn't like them. Well, yeah, that happens with anybody. You got to try a few times to find somebody you click with.
I'm imagining the person who's been to a barber once and did.
Right? I went to a barber one time. They gave me a terrible haircut. Now I'm all shaggy. Yeah. Okay. So.
But I can't imagine the shagginess wasn't from them living like a cave person. It's like.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. You got to try a few. See who's putting down things that are compatible with you, right?
Right. And I think somebody who you feel you connect with and is really listening to you. I think that's true for a barber and a therapist. If you got somebody who isn't really listening, you're going to end up with something you don't like. Because, I mean, I think it cuts both ways, right? Like, you have assertive people who go in and like, you're not listening to me. I'm getting out of here. But then you have people who are like, okay, I feel like they're not listening to me, but maybe that's just me. And I'm sitting there, you know, like, trust yourself. Find somebody who really listens.
So in therapy, there are tops and bottoms.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
Okay, not every therapist is a switch. Okay.
Right, yeah. You know, and I think the thing, you know, I want to come back to this again about mental health and that you're really not alone. And lots of people actually, you know, need you to help them too. So coming together is part of the process when you are looking for places to get mental health. There is groups that you can go to for whatever issue. Like one issue I know that stresses people's mental health a lot is when you're a caregiver. When you're a caregiver for kids, when you're a caregiver for your parents, for the elderly, that can be a really stressful situation. And there's a lot of caregiver groups. And coming together in those groups, coming together, that's part of the process. People need you to be there as much as you need them to be able to build up rapport, swap ideas, figure out how can you get through this together and get out to the other side. So that's one area where you can get lower cost mental health is by joining those free groups that are for your specific issue that you're dealing with. One place, if it's a mental health issue, I would recommend is going to the National Association on Mental Illness, NAMI. They have a lot of support groups that if you're dealing with a specific mental health issue or your loved one has it, then you can come together and build rapport and figure out how do you support that person together.
Okay, and when we talked in the past about this, you'd mentioned groups that help people who are trying to take care of their parents and groups that try to take care of kids and groups that try to take care of both. Are there like a lot of different groups for this? We're just going to link them all in the show notes?
I mean, we're going to link places that you can get started. Unfortunately, the list of problems in mental health that you could possibly have is pretty expansive. But as I like to tell my kids, my generation, the millennials, invented Google for you. So I don't have to explain anything, but I can help edit it to see whether it's good or not. But yeah, I think you should be looking into what different people say. But I definitely weigh in expert opinion too. Not, you know, a lot of times you Google up symptoms and it's like, you have mental health issues, probably cancer. It's like, no, you know, you need some sort of moderation to figure out what exactly it is you need. But there's groups everywhere. And the nice thing about, I mean, the pandemic was awful and it allowed for us to all come together with telehealth. So if you are needing like Overeaters Anonymous, you eat too much and you want to join a help group to figure out how do I address this? There isn't an Overeaters Anonymous in your area. There's probably a telehealth Overeaters Anonymous where you all could meet together to talk about that issue that you're facing.
That makes a ton of sense. And I'm sure that like every major city or even medium-sized city has a group for whatever mental health issue you're suffering from. The only hard part might be vetting it.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
So, yeah. And a lot of time those groups, they get together for free because they need to come together. Another place where you can find a lot of support is local religious organizations. I know that this can be tough for people to trust.
You're seeing me making faces, yeah.
And I think, you know, for me, I like the religious organizations where the first thing is helping you in your mental health. And then maybe the third or fourth thing is like, join our religion and pushing that on you. But like making sure that the thing that they're there for is to service the community. That's why there's a lot of Alcoholics Anonymous groups that meet in churches, a lot of divorce support groups. And so I think it's another place to find that cheaper healthcare.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a full range of it. In my town, I'm sure that if you go to a church and seek mental health, you'll get an exorcism pretty quickly. But I can't imagine all places are this extreme.
Exorcism is actually not on my list of cheap mental health. I think that's a very expensive intervention that you got to pay for.
Oh, some of the churches around here will do it for free, and there'll be like a dance party, too. I don't know. I'm not saying it's good for your mental health, but it's good for a show. Sometimes there's fireworks.
I've never been to one myself, I must say.
All right, God, and we can have a whole episode on just scams on exorcisms, because unironically, I know where you can get an exorcism for $400, right? Most of them are free because they're real believers thinking they're getting rid of real demons, but
I'm
killing the topic.
Okay.
Mental health, let's stick to the real stuff.
Right.
That you were saying, because
right.
There are real communities in religion
scams,
that help.
We do scams as another segment of like self-help scams, which are prevalent. Like, we're going to go into it. I think the $400 exorcism is something we need to talk about, but we'll keep on going through the real stuff that you can actually do. You know, another thing you can do is you can seek out mentors. Like, people have been through this and they've made it. And people who have made it, who have gone through this mental health issue, they want to help you because people helped them. They want to pass it along. So finding those groups, finding those mentors is another way to be able to access mental health cheaply. So there are illness-related organizations that can work on sliding scales, and we'll be listing those places that in the show notes, as Squeaky was saying. And one thing, though, that you might want to look into that not a lot of people talk about, because there's resources that people list out, but one thing is the complexity of trying to find mental health care you can afford. Sometimes, especially if it's a very complex or highly specialized, expensive mental health issue, you might need a healthcare navigator.
Yeah, just the word navigation. It is a bureaucracy and it is a sea to be navigated. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there like a specific group of them, or?
I think that's a part of like the healthcare.gov that you can start looking at to see if there's navigation services. But if you've got a complex mental health issue that seems you want treatment, but it's expensive, get a navigator that can help you navigate all the different programs that are out there. Or if you're trying to do this for a loved one, I think you can also call like your local mental health therapist office and say, hey, here's the issue. Do you know where I can go? I know that for my family members, when I was trying to help them with a pretty expensive, complex issue, that's where I started, was the local therapist saying, hey, this is a little bit higher pay grade than I can deal with, but here's this organization that in Colorado that deals with just this mental health issue for free for 3 years. So getting a mental health navigator to be guided through the system can be really helpful. The sources we're going to list about navigators are rethink.org, Advent Health. We'll talk about what mental health navigators are and how they can help you in the podcast episode.
Fantastic. Okay, so if I'm having trouble with me or with someone else, a therapist might try to help me, but if like a medicine or procedure or some other more complex thing needs to happen, they might refer me to a different kind of professional that can help me more specifically. And I should trust expert referrals. That's where you're going with that, right?
Okay. And, you know, a lot of times people who have or who are struggling with mental health, this isn't their first rodeo. And they're like, yeah, I've already been to NAMI. That didn't solve my issue. Don't give up. We, you know, you're not alone. And I think trying to find a mental health navigator that is trained to deal with complex issues. And, you know, if you're part of a family, especially, this can be really hard to spend so much time navigating the bureaucracy when you've got kids you're pushing into the bushes. Like, you need to make sure that you can have help from folks who are navigating the system, because you got a lot of other stuff going on.
Did the juniper bushes have a therapist? How did they feel about this?
I think juniper bushes are off limits to us in Colorado, so they are now safe. That's a safe
good for them. I'm glad they're protected.
Yeah. So, you know, to sum up, mental health challenges are deep, serious, and they're impacted by complexity and cost. The good news is that both obstacles can be addressed and they can be dealt with. In such cases, right therapy can be found in a way that you can afford. So hopefully we've been able to give you some good ideas about how to take care of your mental health so that you don't have those intrusive thoughts coming out and affecting you.
Awesome. And I'm going to go talk to my family about boundaries and make sure they don't put boundaries on me talking about politics or religion come the next holiday. That'll be perfect.
It was kind of funny. I found that book, Drama Free, How to Guide Boundaries with Your Families of Origin or something like that is the title of it. And I posted it to my family group chat, and they immediately were like, yeah, this is the book for you, honey. I got burned pretty bad that day when I posted it in the family chat.
Oh, man. Goodness.
But it's a great book. Yeah, you can read it. Even if the problem is your mother, you read that book. It helps you deal with her, right? Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Thought for Your Pennies. I'm Shauna, and this is Squeaky.
Hey, I managed to save 2 pennies, and I'm going to donate them to the survivor of the LA fires.
The one survivor's getting both your pennies. That's so generous, Squeaky. God, I can't keep
up. That's right. I'll find a few more pennies and donate to the survivors at linkcuts.org/LA fires.
Yep, helping each other out whenever there are problems is a great thing we should all be doing, even if we can't make it through a simple ad read without laughing.
Hey, welcome back to A Thought for Your Pennies, the show where we learn how to save money together. I'm Shauna, this is Squeaky, and we're going to be talking about scams and mental health. When you have decided you want to get some help, But you need to make sure that you don't get scammed, because if you're getting something that is free or close to free or something you can afford, you're already kind of in a vulnerable place, because it's very, very brave to be vulnerable. It's very brave to go out and seek help. And it's also a time where if you're vulnerable, people who are scammers are trying to prey on your vulnerabilities.
Scammers cast wide nets and look for easy marks.
Right. And they want to exploit you. Yeah. And this day and age, their tools have never been more powerful, with just generative AI that can look like it's a good book to help you with an issue, but it is really not anything that's vetted by anything, just AI junk text, virtual reality, other sophisticated tools. So need to make sure that when you're looking for self-help on the cheap, mental health stuff, to make sure that you don't get scammed.
Last year, Amazon had to pull a book that was written entirely by AI. It was about how to forage for edible mushrooms.
No. That kills people.
And they pulled it real quick. There was this dude in Japan who was writing a ton of AI-generated books. Low quality slop. He didn't realize that, like, you know, in North America, mushrooms will just kill you. So,
yeah,
it happens.
So, I mean, their first step into not getting scammed is what we're doing right now, which is having awareness. Like, you need to know that there's scams out there. You need to know that there's overpromises and being too good to be true, high pressure sales tactics, exaggerated claims, lack of evidence backed by any, you know, reputable body. You're looking for things that are backed by the American Psychological Association or doctors. And then also, you have to check the credentials of these bodies, because sometimes there will be like the Doctors Association of America that will say, we endorse this method. And then you look up the Doctors Association of America to find out that's not a thing. It doesn't exist. So you have to do research on the credibility certifying body on top of it.
And one further, right? If you're going to a web page that is selling something that's claiming it's going to help you, and they say, we are approved by actual reputable organization, usually you can go to the actual reputable organization and they'll link back to people that they've partnered with, that they've given them permission to use their stuff. Like, it should go both ways, because scammers use legitimate logos from things all the time. I mean, they're scammers.
True.
They're not above lying to you.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, also if there's a lot of focus on personal anecdotes, on testimonials, if there seems to be like a cult of personality or guru persona around some of these things.
Yeah. How many of those like weight loss things have like hundreds of testimonials where it's like, and I lost so much weight. But what they're not doing is they're not having testimonies from the people who didn't lose weight, as if they're even real testimonials.
I know they have those ads, and they would put like in white font in the lightest text possible, results not typical. So they would disclaim that like, this is not going to work for the average person, but they would still run those testimonials. It's like that powerful. If you hear somebody testifying saying it worked for me and it can work for you, that there could be a disclaimer that says results not typical, and people will still do it.
How many people are just out there selling some vitamin and saying, right, this vitamin C drop will cure your mental health issues or whatever. And because there's lighter regulation around vitamins, if they dance around making medical claims and barely don't make them, they can get away with it from a legal perspective.
And so in the awareness, you need to be looking for things that are overpromising results, making exaggerated promises about results that you can achieve with buying their stuff. But the reality is that, you know, mental health is a journey. You will go up, you will go down, you will spiral in and out, up and down. As long as, you know, the overall progress generally over time gets better, it's still going to take some effort on your part, but, you know, people can do it with the right help. And so making sure that you are aware of danger flags, like, you know, miracle cures, coaching programs that are not backed by any sort of credentialing body.
So much of this comes back to just evidence, right? So many things people make claims for don't have any evidence backing them. And it can be hard to dig into evidence, especially in the culture we have, where I don't want to say critical thinking or being intelligent is shunned, but we certainly don't put it on the forefront. And people,
well, because I think you want to trust people. You want or you want to believe that this person or this thing that they're selling from these people that you trust and this thing you can afford is going to be the right thing for you.
Yeah, if somebody comes to me and they're selling, you know, some bottle of pills and like, this will solve your mental health issues, this will cure your depression. Let's make it real and concrete, right? I have been diagnosed with depression, right? And real medicine is really expensive, so real therapists will start you with doing something else. And if somebody came to me with a bottle, said, here's $100, this will just make your depression go away. That's tempting, right?
Right.
Like, you're going to give me the meaning of life in a jar? Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? So and you have
to... No, in the best case, it's a bottle of sugar pills, right? But it could be real harmful otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And you don't want to... Yeah, you want to go with stuff that has some sort of credentialing body, has been tested, is more widely known. Because that's another flag, a danger flag is like, oh, only I have this knowledge. Only this product can work for you. Oh, you know, if there's some sort of claim to exclusivity... That can be a flag that maybe this is not legit.
Oh, yeah. Real medicine, real practices, real things. There will be ways you can verify. There will be papers describing how it works. There'll be scientists.
Yep. And that's the next thing I was going to talk about, verification. Do your homework, do your research, but vet any company carefully. Talk to people who've used the product and be skeptical of that perfect 5.0 review because businesses can pay. I think, you know, Yelp and TripAdvisor, I don't think TripAdvisor is doing psychologists or Psychology Today. I think they try to have a rigorous process, but yeah, be skeptical and make sure you're really looking at those reviews.
With the price of medical care, do we have psychological tourism? Is that a thing? Could I like take a weekend in France, visit a doctor?
I don't know. We could look that up and see if there is a mental health tourism. Right. Yeah. But I think the thing is, it takes more than a week to, you know, it's a consistent effort of improvement that'll get you the reward when it comes to making sure that you're doing better in your mental health. But yeah, look at many different sites. Like if there's 5.0 perfect on that website, make sure you're also looking at Better Business Bureau, that you're Googling the name of it, that you're seeing from many different sites, people who are reviewing the products, not just a couple.
Absolutely.
Another thing that you're going to want to look for is making sure that it's transparent about their methods, that they're not like exclusivity, only I have this knowledge and I'm only going to give it to you for $49.95, that there's some sort of transparency because genuine self-help resources typically provide information about their methods, qualifications of the authors, but scammers will be kind of vague and might not provide the evidence that is needed to vet them.
Yeah, anything based in science is going to have something that lets you reproduce the steps, at least in principle. It might not be practical, but at least in principle, you'll be able to read how did other people determine this works.
Yeah. Another flag about things that are probably is a scam, a self-help scam, is there's a high-pressure sales tactic. Buy our 10-session plan now today, and you get two more. You have the next 30 minutes to click yes in your cart or something like that, and that makes you feel like, oh, I'm gonna lose out on this deal. But if it's legit, you'll always be able to get a second opinion or talk to a friend. You can always take your time to make a decision.
Something that sucks with this in our modern society, there are so many things with high pressure sales tactics, and not all of them are scams. Some of them are just trying to close the deal, and knowing the difference between the high pressure scams and the high-pressure deal closers is hard, and I am so glad much of medical just screws you over instead. I don't know, but you're right. You can usually be like, doctor, I want a second opinion, and make that happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And talk to friends, bring it in, you can slow down the process to figure out if this is really gonna work, and talk to other people who are going through what you're going through and saying, yeah, I went through this program and it helped me with this condition, or this doctor was good with this particular methodology. I think that's different than anecdotal or testimonials that people have. If you're seeking out the information, you find it from somewhere else.
Yeah, if you're getting a testimonial from a source not at all controlled by the person selling the thing,
exactly,
that I would count as a point of verification. Yeah.
So hopefully we've given you some things to be looking for, things to watch out for when you're trying to seek out mental health resources on the cheap. And don't let your guard down. You know, think about seatbelts. Nobody knows when there's an accident, so people wear seatbelts every time they drive. The same as kind of when you are looking for deals. Whatever steps you take, take them consistently. You're more ethical and a better person than the scammers out there. And so you can do this. Because the online world, it can be scary. There's a lot of people who want to take your money, and it's important to be careful. It's also possible to overreact and believe everything could be wrong. Like, I know that if you are trying to get help and you're like, oh, I hate therapists, everyone I've met, I can't work with. It's like, okay, if you've met with 5 therapists and you don't like any of them, the problem may not be the therapist. It might be something you need to work on.
The whole point you went to, because you were trying to summarize and going straight to radical skepticism, right? Where you distrust everything. Oh, that's a whole nother bucket of worms. And people get there honestly. Like, if you've lived your whole life in abusive circumstances and just people in every position of authority abuse that authority near you and you can see it and you're the victim to it, it is real hard to get to a point where you can trust somebody in a position of authority. I sympathize with that, but at the same time, you can't build a society without trusting something. And it feels bad to say you got to trust authority, but...
Well, that's why I kind of like the seatbelt analogy, because the seatbelt analogy is like, yeah, be safe, wear the seatbelt, but don't stop driving.
Yeah, yeah. Mitigate risk. Don't throw out the benefits.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, think about, like, when we were talking about the mental health segment, what do you need and at what level do you need professional help? Like, there are self-help books and courses, but also you could get professional help at a place you can afford, and think about that as a way to get legit help for what you're going through. We'll be right back.